Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive.
All right, everyone. Well, I'm Carla Sones, and I am delighted to be here with you all today for another episode of the America's Jobs Team. And this week, we have Nathan with us, and Nathan Regan is a Senior Vice President of Economic Development at Invest Atlanta. Thank you, Nathan, for being with us today and for taking time out of what I know is a busy time for Invest in Atlanta to be with our podcast listeners today. So
thank
I'm going to
so
dive right in. I feel like, you know, we were just in Atlanta. I don't know if you know that, but we were just in Atlanta last week. And it's one of the cities that I absolutely adore. I actually produced our economics conference from Atlanta this year. There was nobody in the audience, but we were there. And I love the city. And I know that it's taken an amazing team of economic developers to continue to create Atlanta as a place where not only people are thriving, but certainly diversity is thriving as well. And I'm curious to hear from you. You know, we have a lot of economic developers on the podcast, but everyone gets into economic development for different reasons and their pathway is different. And I always like to start, and I think it gives people a really good opportunity to get to know a little bit more about our featured guest by hearing how you got into economic development and how in the world you ended up in Atlanta doing economic development. So what are your thoughts on that, Nathan?
Well, I mean, I know this will only last maybe 20 or 30 minutes, but my story could go on much farther than that. I'm just so thankful to you guys again for having me today. So yeah, and as you mentioned, you know, how we all get into economic development is our own unique story. I've always been interested in international business. And so my first job out of college was with an Austrian company. I then went on to work with a French company in the automotive sector. And I worked in the automotive sector for several years. And I actually applied for a position with the French embassy as one of their commercial attachés. And so I was posted in Atlanta at the French Trade Commission in Atlanta. And that is how I started my career. And from the French, I moved on to work with the Danes, really loved that experience as well. And then I moved to the Middle East. I was with the Bahrain Economic Development Board, which is in the Gulf. Super amazing experience. I was based in the embassy in Washington, D.C. And my trade and investment work led me to the U.S. Department of Commerce during the last 2 years of the Obama administration, where I worked for Secretary Penny Pritzker in the Select USA division. Super amazing experience as well. And that really led me to Invest Atlanta. And so all of my trade and investment and economic development experience over my, we won't tell how many years I've been doing this, but over many years led me to this role. And I'm just so thrilled. Economic development work at the local level, as you guys probably, if anyone's listening, you know, is just so rewarding because the impact that you do and you have on people and communities is just, you see it. And you're a part of it. And so I'm just so excited to be there.
So I just have to ask, how many languages do you speak and understand? Just curious.
Well, you know, speaking foreign languages is a bit like having a musical talent. You know, you can, if you've got it, you got it, right? And so I speak French and Spanish fluently. I speak some German, medium-sized German. And just some customary phrases in Arabic and Danish, but that's just been because of my work, and I pick up on it pretty easily. And it does help, you know, as you're going around the world and you're talking about a place like Atlanta, and you're in Germany or France or the UK. I mean, obviously, you know, these are all places where these types of things really help. So
yeah, that is awesome. It's incredible. That's one of the things that I would tell my younger self, like pay more attention when learning a foreign language and continue to use it. Because yep. I worked at a migrant center here in Michigan for years, like 3 years. I had taken French in high school, then found myself in a predominantly Spanish speaking environment, learned so much Spanish and was almost speaking it fluently, But if you're not using it every day, it's so surprising how much it just like
goes fast.
Gone.
Yep.
So I have that regret. Okay, back to you, Nathan. So 2020, I mean, it's been a wild year. I know. That's how I feel like we're all like sitting here in December, like, okay, we made it to December. So I think, you know, when we think about the year, we've experienced a pandemic. We experienced everything that came with that from an economic kind of halt and then restart and then back to a halt in some places of the country. We went through a political season that was just, you know, hugely contested. I know you're just still in that world down in Georgia, but we also had like social unrest. I mean, it's just been like, you name it, it feels like it hit this year. When you think about your leadership, what has been one of the biggest personal leadership challenges that you've encountered as you kind of navigated all that this year has brought?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. You know, I feel like personally, you know, my team and Invest Atlanta itself, you know, we in March, like everyone else, you know, we all went virtual. And, you know, I think there was some heartburn that we would lose that team feeling or that continuity. But that has not happened. I actually think we've become stronger. I know it sounds kind of weird. I know we're all tired of Zooms and team meetings. But I actually feel like we as an organization are working more efficiently and effectively. I know we all feel like we're working more, and I think we are. But personally, I think that's one of the things that I'm most proud of this year. Obviously, the ability to really help businesses in such an impactful way. I like to tell people when I talk about our CARES Act program that we have, which is called Resurgence, I like to tell people that my team, they're like frontline responders. You know, when we hear people every single day who've invested their entire life into their small business that, you know, is what they see is slipping away, right? And mm-hmm. So for us to be able to help those small businesses put working capital into the hands of what makes the city of Atlanta great, it's not just our big corporate partners, but our small businesses are like really the lifeblood. So that to me has been one of the biggest things. Has it been easy? No. Has it been, you know, hair pulling a little bit? Yes. I mean, but at the end of the day, I know that everyone on our team at Invest Atlanta is just dedicated to the cause. And you see that, you know, we see that internally. And so it's just refreshing to see that people are committed.
Yeah, I think that's one of the cool things about, you know, that if there is a silver lining in this year, it has been, you know, strong teams continue to thrive regardless of the circumstances and are able to make that pivot. And I think you nailed it when you said some things you realized how much more efficient you can be. You know, there were some meetings that probably could have been done on Zoom all the time. I certainly hope that we're not forever on Zoom with everything like bound to it. I like the opportunity to make a choice, but I think we can be much more efficient. You talked a little bit about just, you know, your own journey through the year and knowing that as soon as I said 2020, you kind of like raised your hands up like, oh, okay, deep breath. You know, we kind of made it. How have you been able to recharge your batteries as you work through this year? And maybe you still are. Maybe it's something that you're still trying to figure out. We just have seen so many economic developers. I think it's a group that has struggled with maybe being on the cusp of burnout. And then we went through a marathon of a year where their services were needed more than ever, but their own organizations sometimes were struggling financially or were also impacted due to budget cuts related to the pandemic. So how are you kind of taking care of your own self and recharging your own batteries right now?
Well, I'm not so sure that this is going to be the answer that people are looking for, but I'm not so sure that any of us have been. Sorry to say that. I'm sure if you're listening out there, you probably can identify. I will just say that my team has been so committed to this effort, you know, and we're all, minimal people revolting, but, you know, I think we're all looking forward to the end of the year. The CARES Act has really been a real blessing for us as a city, but also it's very tough for us. We're like most economic development agencies, and we're probably bigger than most. You know, resources are tight, and you know, we have to follow the guidelines set by U.S. Treasury and the city of Atlanta to be able to allocate these funds. And that takes a lot. You know, we're reviewing $22 million worth of Home Depot receipts. So let that sink in. You know, I mean, this is a Herculean task. And so I'm just so thankful to my team, and we brought on some contractors to help us, but just really, they've just dug deep. And I think all of us will breathe that collective sigh of relief on December 30th, when we can all say, okay, this thing has, we put it to bed and now we can move on to what's next. I think we'll all be taking hopefully some time over the holidays. I've granted everyone who's asked for vacation, leave, they can do it. You know, I want you to recharge yourself. And I plan on doing that in January once this is all settled.
Yes, that is awesome. And I hope you get a little bit of a chance to not only celebrate that huge accomplishment of the year and all the work that's went into it, but certainly some time away too. So let's talk a little bit about role models. I think one of the cool things about economic developers is that we have an opportunity to learn from one another, but also learn from other people in other industries. Can you talk a little bit about what role, if any, mentors have played in your journey as you kind of went from role to role and in language to language? What role has mentors played in your journey, and what advice would you have for other economic developers that might just be getting started out that are seeking a little bit of guidance as they plan their career?
Well, I mean, I think we can all agree that none of us get to where we are without the help of someone else, right? And so I know that's certainly true for me. And I will say that there's one person in particular that stands out for me. Aaron Brickman has been a mentor to me. He basically started the Select USA program. I've known him for over, oh gosh, I won't say how many years it is now, but it's been a long, long time. But, you know, I would say that, you know, I find strength and guidance in every organization that I work in. You know, I've worked for some amazing ambassadors. I will just call out Ambassador Huda Nunu. She was the first female Jewish ambassador from an Arab state to the United States. And she was just amazing. You know, I mean, when you have the ability to work with leaders like that, Secretary Penny Pritzker, also just a tour de force, you know, just amazing people. But I would say more importantly, yes, mentors to me are really hugely important. And I seek those out, you know, everywhere I go. But I also try to pay it forward, right? So I have, you know, when people ask me what are the best accomplishments of your career, it's not, you know, helping a company build a new glass tower somewhere or landing a new, you know, $500 million position somewhere. It's really about the people that I have had the opportunity to work with, who I've hired and who have worked with me and then gone on to do amazing things. And so I take great pride in that as part of my professional accomplishments about people who I've hired and brought on and who I see them go and do other amazing things. I mean, that to me is the biggest win.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when you kind of talked about what success means to you, and I think that's really powerful. Can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, economic development is one of those kind of, I feel like there's a lot of hard knocks along the way, you know, to get to those victory moments. It feels like there's some moments of defeat that come with that. What are some of the tough lessons that you've learned in your career as an economic developer that maybe somebody else can learn from, and or maybe they've just experienced that and are feeling really defeated and need to hear from somebody else that there was an other side of that, you know, tough lesson?
Well, I mean, I've had some tough lessons. I think we all have. And I think the real moral of that story is never give up. You know, never give up. You know, I just acutely remember I was in Atlanta. This was in the late 2000s. I was working for the Danish Trade Council, and I'd been there almost 5 years. And I was like, you know, maybe it's time to do something, to be challenged, to challenge myself, do something more. So I started, you know, looking around. And so this opportunity with the Bahrain government came up, and I looked at that, and you know, I could, as we've talked, I consider myself to be pretty worldly, somewhat international. And I said, well, I'm not exactly sure where Bahrain is exactly, right? And so I had to remind myself where it was. And then I said, well, gosh, I've never worked in the Middle East. I don't speak Arabic, but technically I'm qualified for this job and I'm going to apply for it, you know? And so I did. I went after it, and I didn't think in any way that I would ever get it. And I had to fight for that job. There was stiff competition for that job. And, you know, don't take no for an answer. It would be a lesson that I would give people. You know, if someone tells you no, you ask why. And if they can't give you a good answer, then, you know, keep pushing, right? I mean, within reason. So never give up. Don't take no for an answer. And I think that's just those lessons, you know, you carry with you in economic development into projects. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be persistent. You have to be, you know, and you got to have a team who also feels the same way. I mean, together you guys can accomplish amazing things. So be persistent. Don't take no for an answer and never give up.
Yeah, I think that's great advice because especially, you know, I'm thinking back to a few projects myself that if we would have just been like, you know what, we don't really qualify, or you know what, we can't really get a little bit more incentive on the table. You don't have the opportunity to then say like, well, maybe there's a creative solution. And, you know, if we wouldn't have pushed back when the answer was originally no, we might not have some of the companies that we do now that really make up the fabric of our community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important to just, you know, not be afraid to ask those follow-up questions like why, or is there a different way, or what would make it eligible? Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good, really good advice. So I can tell that you love what you do. I mean, it's very clear you're passionate about what you do, and you're passionate about the people, and just kind of like a lifelong learner. If you, for today's purposes, when you think about economic development, once you get past this hurdle of getting that CARES Act project done, what excites you? Like, what's next and your kind of like economic development bucket list that just really, when you think about the next couple of years, you're like, that's what excites me about working for Invest Atlanta, doing economic development for the next few years?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question because, quite frankly, you know, I think as we've looked at 2020, when we look across our nation and we look at racial equity, when we look at economic mobility, you know, those are real pressing items, issues of the day that have been long past due to be discussed. And so I'm so proud to be a part of the Invest Atlanta family in a city that's the home of civil rights. And what people don't know is that in 2019, I had just walked in the door at Invest Atlanta, and they were like, hey, so welcome, you know, and by the way, you're going to be leading this study around economic mobility, you know? And so I was like, okay, I'm going to get my staff together and figure this stuff out, right? And so for the past year and maybe some change, we did a deep dive. We brought partners in from Bloomberg. We brought partners in from Enterprise Community Partners to take a real magnified look at the city of Atlanta. Why is economic development, why is this economic robustness that is happening in Atlanta not reaching the entire city? You know, and we in Atlanta like to say that Atlanta is the home of a lot of first, right? But you don't want to be first in some things. Income inequality is unfortunately an area in the country where Atlanta ranks first. So we did a real study last year, came out with recommendations and findings. We took the assumptions that we thought we knew and did a data-driven approach with all of our partners in the city of Atlanta. We had a steering committee of 30 people. Don't ask me how that works, but it did work. And we came out with what's called the One Atlanta Economic Mobility Plan. So the mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, we thank her for her leadership, has launched this recently. And that is the guiding principle that is going to guide the city of Atlanta for the next 3 to 5 years and hopefully in perpetuity. And so, you know, what does that mean? That means how do we have an economy in the city of Atlanta that works for everyone? And if you've been in Atlanta, then, you know, Midtown and Buckhead are kind of our business districts and places that are really thriving. But how do we as economic development professionals use our tools and our knowledge to make sure that we drive those investments into parts of the city that need it? How do we spur innovation and entrepreneurship through our programs and our dollars? And, you know, how do we actually help the city become a complete thriving city? And so that for me is really economic mobility and equity. It will be like a lens that sits across everything that we do. And I'm very fortunate to have a pretty large team, and we do everything from small business lending to students of startups, which is a program we run. How do we use all of this stuff together to really make a difference in everyone's life in the city of Atlanta. And so for me personally and professionally, you know, that is what I'm looking forward to in the next 3 to 5 years.
That is awesome. Will you name that initiative again? Did you say it was One Atlanta?
Yeah, it's called the One Atlanta Economic Mobility Plan.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. I want to keep a tab on it and follow what you all are doing. It's an area that I'm certainly passionate about too. So one final question for you before we let you get back to your CARES Act, you know, kind of bring it home last few days of the year. And this is I wouldn't say it's a hard question, but it's a question that I think is important to ask right now after we've went through an incredibly tough year. And the question is, what does it mean to you, to Nathan, to be an American? Simple as that. It's kind of a deep question, but what does it mean to you?
Well, I mean, look, I think all of us, no matter what your political affiliation is, you know, we're all Americans first. And, you know, I, from my own backgrounds, you know, have traveled the world and worked across the world and like, not for nothing, but this is the best place in the world, the United States, right? And so for me, you know, I'm just super proud that our democratic principles have held up through the years, not just now, but through the years. I'm super proud that, you know, we have the ability for the public to elect our president, and it still goes through in a certain way. And like, you know, I'm just proud right now to be an American for those reasons. I mean, you know, look, we are the economic engine, in my opinion, of the world. And like, you know, this is it. You know, I mean, we're living it right now. I think it's just an amazing time for us. And our, you know, none of us have lived through a global pandemic. So I think, you know, when we're all, you know, a little bit grayer and a little bit older, you know, 30, 40 years, 50 years from now, you know, we'll be able to say, gosh, you remember back in 2020 when, you know, we had this pandemic and no one was, you know, everyone was out of work and businesses were closing. So, you know, I'm just proud to be part of this story, you know, and certainly my work in Atlanta helps add to that. And so I'm thrilled to be an American, like you said.
Well, Nathan, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I love that question because I love hearing the answer. So it's partially Carla just wanting to hear those answers because I think it recenters us all. Like after an incredibly hard year, I think it recenters us all that yes, like it is a great place to live. And the work that we're doing to create jobs and to create investment and thriving communities is so important. So it's so important that we need economic developers to believe in the work that they're doing and have the stamina to keep doing it and the role models. And you certainly have been a great role model for our listening audience today. And I'm so happy that you are on the podcast and share your insights. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Have a good holiday.
Yeah, you too.
Hey everyone, I'm here today with Steve Jast, who is the president and founder of Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. Hey Steve, it's great to speak with you today. As one of the leading voices in investment attraction and lead generation, what has stuck out the most for you over the past few months?
Hi Faye, thanks so much for the question. First and foremost, let me say that I love the content that Consultant Connect has been generating. I'd also like to take a second to wish all of our listeners continued good health. Every day is really a new adventure. We're seeing some sad stories of industries and companies in steep, unexpected decline, and we're also seeing areas of growth and opportunity. A couple of areas that have generated significant strategic discussion center around supply chain and reshoring. To help economic developers blend these into their strategic plans moving forward, we've been providing complementary data pools and access to our Gazelle AI platform.
That's really awesome, Steve. I'm sure this data has helped many economic development organizations. Can you explain how exactly Gazelle AI helps?
Sure, yeah, great question, Faye. Our platform includes supply chain data for over 900 industries with related company listings. We also have complete company hierarchies, meaning users can build lists of companies that have an HQ in a specific state or country with manufacturing activities in other specific countries. This is ideal for economic recovery planning, reshoring business attraction strategies, understanding local supply chains, and overall investment attraction.
Wow, thanks, Steve. Hey, everyone, if you would like to activate your complimentary access to Gazelle AI, connect with Steve by emailing him at Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at gazelle.ai. That's Steve at gazelle.ai. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Tune in again next week for more insight and relevant content to the issues impacting economic development today. America's Jobs Team podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI.